The All About Nothing podcast may have language and content
that isn't appropriate for some.
Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome, Nothingers, to the All About Nothing podcast. This is episode number 260. I am Barrett Gruber. I'm joined by Mr. Bill Fry. And also, we have another guest here who's joining us.
Guest.
I'm back.
He has been away for too long. But for good reason, welcome back, Mr. Zach King. The episode, of course, is Return of the King.
It is great to be back.
I was not allowed to actually come up with any other titles for this episode. Zach influenced the entire thing. So welcome back, Zach King.
So happy. Been a minute.
What is it like having three children under five in the house all the time?
Multiplying my family in one fell swoop? Well, it's been fantastic. No, I mean, babies are great. Two of them? Great. Just double the great. Barrett hasn't been draining and negative in any which way. It hasn't hurt my finances in any which way. I haven't had to make cuts in any. My life is basically exactly the same. Yeah. No, it's great. It's a big paradigm shift, but I'm loving every minute of it.
Yeah,
and they're in the smiling stage, so
that's awesome.
That reciprocated love,
yeah,
is freaking fantastic.
Are they
anyone
laughing
who has kids? Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
It's more of the like the, you know.
Yeah. It's the grunt. I don't know how to react to this, and so I'm just gonna drool on you.
I learned how to do the smile, and now my throat and body want to help chime in on the smile.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's yeah. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. No, well,
it's been Tuck and Ellie are just the happiest babies, just like their sister was.
Yeah. Well, Ivan,
it looks like Tuck is a clone of me, and Ellie is a clone of Gabrielle.
Okay. It's,
when Eden is like the most like perfect amalgam of Gabrielle and I, these two, we just make clones. Like, it was pretty fantastic.
Well, between me and other people, we all basically, every time we see a video or a picture posted, we pretty much around the room, everyone shares the exact same thing. And it's like, yeah, I just showed you that. And you know, so
yeah.
We do enjoy seeing the pictures. Bill Fry is also here. He is still kidless. So congratulations, Bill.
No children. Thank no God. Children.
Stay that way until you're 42. All right, Bill.
All right.
Yeah, I don't plan on having kids anytime soon. So
yeah, I don't blame you. I don't blame
you. See those guitars you have up there? You can get a lot more if you don't.
Yeah, that's also true. Also very true. Yep. All right. Please subscribe and share the show. That's how we get new listeners. Also, please consider supporting the show financially by visiting theallaboutnothing.com and becoming an official member and proudly calling yourself a true nothinger. We'll have more details at the end of the show. If you can't do that, please give us a 5-star review, a like, and follow us across social media. You can do all of that from theallaboutnothing.com. Want to thank Justice Hills last week's episode. He did have his event last night. I haven't checked in with him about it was in recognition of it being the 10th anniversary of the Emmanuel 9 shooting in Charleston, South Carolina. But I imagine it went off as a success, and I'm hoping that it was well attended. Zach, I was waiting for you to come back so that I could do a thank you to Carrie Tharp and the Darlington Country Club.
Absolutely. Hate that I missed it.
That's all right. We're going to he has expressed that he wants us to come back. And I told him if we come back and do another episode that it's mostly going to be Zach and Carrie talking about Carolina football.
I definitely will. And
that's
Carrie. I know you're listening. Thank you for the birthday message. That meant a lot.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
And thank you for facilitating it, Barrett. That was fantastic. Hey,
it was really a blast getting Carrie drove us around on the golf carts. I don't know if you watched the episode. There's a lot of footage added into the YouTube video of the club and the whole resort area, whatever.
It looks gorgeous.
It is. It was really nice. And then, so after we were done with the interview, Carrie took us out on the golf carts and drove us around the club and showed us different places and whatnot. So I got some footage of riding with the camera down next to the golf cart that, you know, next to the tire and things like that. It was a really cool episode to do. And to be able to throw those elements into the episode was pretty cool too. So if you haven't
watched, did you get to whack a couple?
I didn't. I don't, you know,
I'm sure they got a driving range over there.
I don't want to show up the club pro or anything.
Oh yeah. No, you don't want to do that.
No, there's no driving range. It is just 18 holes. Yeah, it's just 18 holes. Well,
you should have played a front nine. When we go, we're going to play a front nine.
We will probably golf when we go. I have clubs. I'll bring those out there. So,
Your clubs.
There you go. Upcoming episodes, we're going to have Heather Bauer coming up, who is a representative here in Columbia, South Carolina, the State House Legislature. She's going to be on the podcast here in a few weeks. Caitlin Robruck, who is the voice of Minnie Mouse. We got to meet her at the Soda. No, was she at Soda City Club? Yeah, she was at Soda City Comic Con. Soda City. And then she was also at Wilmington.
No, it wasn't.
She wasn't there last year.
She wasn't. No, okay, she was at Wilmington.
She was at Coastal, yeah.
Okay, so she was at Wilmington.
She was right up, butted up against Ross Marquand.
That's right. So it's already been announced, Soda City Comic Con. Caitlin Robruck, the voice of Minnie Mouse and other characters as well. But she's going to be back here for Soda City Comic Con this August. Tickets available now, SodaCityComicCon.com. So go check that out.
And we are going to have a field day with John Heder.
Yeah, big announcement there. John Heder, Napoleon Dynamite himself, is going to be at the Columbia Soda City Comic Con. I thought that was pretty cool.
We got to get a plug. Like, listen to the All About Nothing podcast. God.
I told people about John Heder coming, and then I had people telling me, and they're like, is Napoleon Dynamite one of your favorite movies? And I was like, no.
I love it.
I like it. It's not one of my favorite. My favorite John Heder movies is by far
Blades of Glory.
No, is Benchwarmers. I think Benchwarmers.
Well, I haven't actually watched that.
Oh, you got to watch that. Benchwarmers. John Lovitz is in there.
David Spade.
David Spade, and then the guy that's got the daughter that sings that one song.
Rob Schneider? How you remember who Rob Schneider
is? I fucking hate Rob Schneider. He's a
Trumping asshole, but
and this is just my opinion, and nobody else has to agree with it, but in my opinion, Rob Schneider only has a movie career because he attached himself so well to Adam Sandler, and Adam Sandler's too nice of a guy.
I can't. No. Because Adam Covert would have had more movies because he's hysterical. The Animal with Rob Schneider is one of the funniest fucking movies of all time.
It's funny. I agree.
It's hilarious.
Rob Schneider, Rob Schneider didn't make it funny. I think you could have put other actors in that role and it would have been, you know.
I don't think Adam Sandler's all that funny.
I'm looking forward to Happy Gilmore too. I've enjoyed
it. He has his like Happy Gilmore's good, Big Daddy was good.
Yeah, Big Daddy.
The rest of them, he's like, yibby, yibby, yibby. Like, you're just
little,
like, okay.
What about Little Nicky?
That's kind of a shit movie too.
What about Jack and Jill?
Jack and Jill. What was it? Click? Was Click the one where he could use the remote control and go forwards and backwards?
So I did like
Click was emotional too, though. Like, I think Sandler has been very good in his
emotional movies.
A little more than just comedy. Yeah, he's been the Gems movie.
Yeah,
Gems.
Yeah,
that movie took you for a loop. But Punch Drunk Love was like one of his best.
I did not see the end of the Gem movie. I can't remember the whole title of it, but I did really? Not see that. Because that's the coming. Whole
like holy shit.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. Like I didn't see that coming. Like it just
you didn't see it coming.
No. Yeah, yeah. It just didn't occur to me that was how they were going to.
I thought you got that far. Like he's like, I'm about to win money, and then you were like, I'm done with this movie.
No. It's all the whole thing. Credits and all. That's hilarious. But yeah, we're going to have we have a lot of guests lined up. We're getting heavy into the political season. And so a lot of candidates. I'm getting emails on emails of people that want to come out and come and be on the show. So, you know, some legitimacy there.
I'm back. I'm going to vet all these emails. So write
start,
them
well. Yeah, start doing it now. David Robinson, Lee Johnson, who's a Senate candidate. We're working on Annie Andrews, who is a doctor out of the Low Country, who is also a Senate candidate.
I'm seeing from her so far.
Yeah. Also, I am going to be doing an episode at the Hollow Creek Distillery here in a couple weeks with Ami Bland from the Welcome to Wonderland podcast.
Never heard of her.
Yeah. Well, she might have taken a few votes from us in the Best of Columbia, which, by the way, thank you to everybody that voted for us. We know that we got a substantial number of votes just based on people telling us that they did it. So if they were lying, you know, Zach's back and he does not hold back. So
no, I will find you. I will find you. And I will hurt you.
We will find out, hopefully just before Soda City Comic Con, the results of the Best of Columbia 2025. And, you know, if it works out, maybe we'll have an announcement to make at the Soda City Comic Con this year.
Yeah,
maybe we can go on stage and steal the microphone and thank everybody in person. So we will see.
I got to mention something while we're on pop culture, at least pop culture adjacent. The new Naked Gun trailer, Liam Neeson. I'm in.
Yeah.
He's Frank Drebin's son.
Yeah. The
it was fantastic.
It was the funniest because, you know, I like Leslie Nielsen.
He's about a to lot. Shit his pants. I'm gonna ruin another suit.
To Norbert's son.
He's like, I miss you, Daddy.
It's great. That,
it was the him dressed as a little girl, and he's like, "What are you doing?" He's like, and just grows exponentially.
Well, he stabs one guy with one end of the lollipop, and then the other end goes into a guy's mouth. And it looks terrific.
We need that dry slapstick humor so bad. I've been saying we need more of those movies to come back. The world's gone to shit while those have been dormant. Now that we have Naked Gun coming back, now Spaceballs 2 is officially being made.
Man, I hope Mel Gibson or Mel Brooks lives long enough to get that movie out.
He's got to finish it.
He's like 98 years old.
The world needs those movies. We need to go there and laugh at the dumbest crap possible.
Totally agree.
It's a joining force. We'll build camaraderie that we all like Naked Gun when it comes out.
I have to admit, as long as we're talking about movies, Mission Impossible, I thought was fantastic. The last Mission Impossible that just came out.
Yeah, I definitely have not seen it yet.
I thought it was fantastic.
I watched Sinners and the new Final Destination, and both of those are extremely good movies.
Okay. I heard Sinners was good. I heard Sinners was good, but really it's basically good. Soft porn.
Josh Allen's wife? Yeah. Josh Allen didn't look none the happier to be there high-fiving Michael B. Jordan.
I never thought I would recommend a horror movie on its soundtrack, but its soundtrack is incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, just hands down.
That's what drew me into wanting to watch it. So I will probably go ahead and watch it now that I've gotten the bill two thumbs up on it. So
I watched the new season of Tires, which is fantastic. If you haven't watched that, please go, dude.
That's
Shane Gillis.
Yeah. Shane Gillis. That's it. Yeah, I gotta watch that too.
Ron White's is a special guest as a washed up NASCAR driver on an episode.
I gotta tell you, I am exceedingly excited about how liberal Ron White is.
He has not ever not been though.
That's true. But his association with the Blue Collar Comedy Tour and
that. Who thought Ron White would be the one with the most political sense at the end of the day?
I never thought that it was going to be Larry the Cable Guy. Never once did I ever think. Yeah, he is.
But really?
It never would have occurred to me that Larry the Cable Guy, you know, because, Larry the Cable Guy is a trope. Not a trope.
Yeah.
It's a character.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he's not even real.
His accent is completely fake. He's from, like, Nebraska or something.
Yeah. No, he's from Ireland.
Is he Larry Cable Guy's from Ireland?
No, he has an Irish accent.
No, he's from like Nebraska.
I don't know.
I swear to God, I saw an interview one time and he was like, oh yeah, it's all fake. And it's like he has an Irish accent or something.
We got to Google it now.
Yeah, now we got to find out. All right.
I was shocked. I feel like I wouldn't forget that. I could be completely wrong.
While you're looking that up, I'm going to do the rest of this business. Putt-Putt Like a Pro, the 10th Masters of Putt-Putt, Friday, August 22nd at Frankie's Fun Park. Get your three-player team signed up by August 21st. And don't be make sure you're donned in the best themed costumes, because there will be a best dressed award that goes to the team. You can win cool prizes. Arrive before 6:45 because they tee off sharp at 6:45. You can check everplaysocial.com. Want to remind everybody to check out ZJZ Designs because it's important. And you wear clothes. We all wear clothes. You should wear clothes from ZJZ Designs. ZJZDesigns.com. So go check that out. Okay.
Did you look it up? City, Nebraska. Yeah.
He's from Nebraska.
Yeah, it's Nebraska. Okay. I swear to God, I saw something.
You know what?
He saw like one interview. He's like, oh, yes, I'm Larry the Cable Guy.
Maybe he did do that. I don't know.
I was going to say it's entirely possible because he does a lot of voices. Well,
maybe it was an April Fool's. I don't know.
I don't know. Even Mater is just Larry the Cable Guy.
That's true. It is just Larry the Cable Guy. So want to, after all of that, I want to, we're going to get into the heat of, or I guess the meat of the episode, which has a lot to do with local politics. RJ May. When we recorded last week, we had basically the responsibility of breaking the news on an episode that didn't come out till 4 days later about RJ May's arrest. So
RJ May, cheese pizza, and the Freedom Caucus.
Yeah. RJ May, of course, House Representative for District 88, which is my district, Republican, former Freedom Caucus member, and former vice chair of the Freedom Caucus. And he was arrested last week. And one of the things that I didn't realize about his arrest and the reporting on his arrest is how ambiguous local news here in Columbia and across most of South Carolina were trying to be about his arrest. When you watched any, you know, WLTX 19, WIS, they all basically said, local politician was arrested and is being held for the U.S. Marshals Service's pending court. And they all acted like they had no idea what it was that he had been arrested for. Like
even when we spoke to local news, when we knew things were originally going on.
Yeah.
And we met anchors and, you know, people who work for the news, and they would still be like, well, you know, at the moment.
Yeah. No. I mean, we were at Soda City Comic Con last year, and Rachel Ripp is at the table next to us when she was at WLTX. I'm sitting there chatting with her about it. I chatted with Andrea Mock about it, who used to be on Channel 19. You know, like they all knew exactly what had happened because it was very recent. They knew, you know, it was all based. Okay, I'll admit some of it was speculation purely based on the fact that it was the FBI and HSI, Homeland Security Investigations, that had been the group that had ransacked his house, that had actually, you know, taken the warrant and used it to pull out all of the media drives and the computers and four cell phones. Who has four cell phones?
Weird pedos do.
Yeah.
Also something crazy I just want to say too, like, and you're completely right, it was dead silent. It was weird because like, of course, Fitz News was talking about it. Like, that was the only source I could go to read any updates. ETV, ETV never mentioned it once. And something that just made me angry about the way their reporting was, I'm going to be critical of it. They would go in and they would interview people, politicians who were also part of the same caucus that he was in. And they would say, what's your favorite ice cream flavor? What are you doing today? What are you talking about? Like,
news channel. Yeah, that's awful.
Well, one of the things that came out of last week was that, and Bill had told me that he had interviewed RJ May briefly when he was at South Carolina News. But I'm going to let Bill introduce this video clip because this hasn't aired anywhere, correct?
No, so I had a news package where I took a clip of it, because what y'all are about to see, Barrett actually went through and changed the audio levels because I sent him the raw footage, and of course, raw footage was awful, and it was actually one of the first politicians I've ever interviewed.
Okay.
It was at a Freedom Caucus rally, and there were several people that were there at Mama Rabbit's Nibbles and Sips. They have I don't know if they're still doing it. I need to double check. But at the time, they were doing a monthly Freedom Caucus rally where they would serve up food, have a bunch of Republicans show up, and they would host politicians. And at this point, they probably had seven or eight, probably like seven Freedom Caucus members show up to this rally. the owner of the place was very upset that I was there at first. And then I was just like, well, because I kind of showed up, I'd reached out to him and he didn't really want.
You just don't like the respond. Constitution, do you, sir?
Yeah. Yeah. So I showed up and one of his sisters let me in, and then I could tell he was upset with me, and then I was like, I'm just trying to, which this is the truth. I was trying to find a conservative perspective on the story I was working on, which was the trans healthcare bill, to like ban it for minors in South Carolina. And so, John, he was just like, okay, yeah, sure. Well, in that case, here's some Freedom Caucus people. And he actually rounded up some Freedom Caucus members for me. And one of them happened to be RJ May. And so you can play the clip, whichever parts you want. Yeah.
No, I'm gonna play the whole thing. So,
and I want to just say Mama Rabbit's, when I went there, was just Trumpomania.
Yeah.
I'm going to say this on camera. They do have good food. It was delicious. There's something about, I don't know. That's it.
Well,
joke one time, they're like, hate makes food taste fucking awesome.
That is a plug for Mama Rabbit's in Lexington, South Carolina. So, we may have some things at some point coming up specifically at Mama Rabbit's if things play out the way that I think that they're going to play out.
Yes.
So I can't make any announcements yet, but there may be a special election in the future. And that special election may have some ties specifically to the podcast. And anyway, we'll make, there will be decisions. Decisions are still being made. And but first, there has to be a special election scheduled. So I'm going to play this thing in its entirety. Now, it's important to note that what Bill has recorded here actually took place about a month and a few days before what is actually in the indictment of RJ May. The evidence that was collected is based around a specific time frame, the end of March, early April, and this was recorded in late February, and so I'm gonna go ahead and just play it. This is my representative, District 88, RJ May. So we'll go ahead and jump right into
RJ May. That's RJ May, State Representative, District 88, Vice Chairman, South Carolina Freedom Caucus. Yeah, the Help Not Harm bill, which recently passed the South Carolina House of Representatives, would ban transgender surgeries for anyone under the age of 18 in the state of South Carolina. Obviously, this is a common sense approach. Lack the ability to foresee the unintended consequences of this type of procedure, and we should reserve that for those over the age of 18. Yeah, so the Freedom Caucus filed a very similar piece of legislation to this over 13 months ago. Sadly, that bill sat in committee. Where it remains today. And only recently did the majority caucus, the Republican caucus, pick up this initiative and file their own bill, again, a year after the Freedom Caucus filed theirs. That bill was obviously brought to the floor, was voted on by the House, and passed overwhelmingly in a bipartisan. It should, absolutely. I think protecting our children is one of the top things that we can do as a legislature and as a state. And of course, this goes a long way in protecting our children. And ensuring that if they want to make this decision, it is delayed until they can understand the full weight behind it. There are plenty of cases across the country where folks who are transitioned at a young age, who lack the mental capacity, who lack the ability to foresee the problems that this may cause, who now are detransitioning, who now want to have kids but cannot, who want to breastfeed but cannot because their healthy tissue was removed when they were 5, 6, 7, 8 years old. This would delay that process, allow children to fully mature before they made this decision that would affect the rest of their life. No, I think you covered it. All right. Appreciate it, man.
All right. So
I shook his hand at the end of it.
Yeah.
God.
A couple things out of that. One, I don't think RJ May is concerned remotely, allegedly, on any children maturing. Nope. That's a big issue I have with this whole
or their health or right. their mental well-being. It's an absolute cognitive dissonance, hypocritical bullshit.
Yeah. Also, There is no statistical information that actually states that there is any children that are transitioning unless for specific medical reasons, because they were born
intersex.
Or well, that's actually intersex would be the term.
Yeah, intersex.
The right term. So, yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to use an outdated term.
So,
but. No. But
it's important to note that the CDC and Pew Research have no statistics available that supports the claim that there are any children that are transitioning that go through some sort of an awakening and go and make this decision that, oh, I should have stayed the gender I was when I was three, because no children are being transitioned at an early age like that.
What
most of the states were trying to do when they were trying to pass legislation that would protect children that were potentially transgender was to provide the mental health care, and potentially the health care to, if they were in their adolescence, that would slow down the process of puberty so that transitioning later on would not have, would have been easier. Because by the age of 13, if you feel like you're in the wrong body by the age of 12, 10, 11, 13, you know where you're at. And I think that you probably have a pretty good idea. And if you have parents that support you and you're I don't know why I'm talking to fucking children right now, cause they're not watching this.
Well, at the end of the day, like you, what they took away was the ability to have that analyzed by a specialist to understand if this is genuine. Is this, is this something that should be acted upon in the future? Is there something else going on? You took away the ability to see any legitimacy to understand more about somebody who is going to be transgender if they grew up and that's what became from it. That's all you're doing is stymieing any kind of understanding and knowledge about it.
It mostly gave parents and children the right to still seek medical care. It wasn't harming. The care that was available was, again, in a lot of cases, it was mostly mental. It was mental health care. It was therapy to try and work with the children to, again, adolescence. This idea that there are children that are being encouraged to change genders and then going through surgery isn't happening. There is not any statistics, again, from CDC or Pew Research that indicates that any of this was going on, and it's a straw man. That's what it is.
Isn't the percentage of even all Americans, children and adults included, who are medically transitioning like less than 1%?
Oh,
ridiculous.
It's less than 1/1000%.
Right. It's the most minuscule thing that is being microscopically just and then expanded. You're making an issue out of the smallest thing that. It's ridiculous.
Which the Supreme Court today just upheld
the Tennessee
ban.
So now in Tennessee, there will not be any sort of medical care for young children in this situation. You're basically allowing for an overwhelming surge in what could potentially be mental health decline for people that feel this way. Suicides potentially are going to go up. You live in Tennessee. Of course you're committing suicide. Just so you guys know, not a lot of listeners in Tennessee. So we're safe.
I mean, what you're doing is you're going to have people who maybe think who have dissociative disorders and stuff, and that'll go undiagnosed when it should be. They need actual help. That we're seeing signs of one thing, that the symptoms are they want to be transgender, when maybe that's not it. You're just taking away putting the scientific method to work and understanding somebody who genuinely needs. I know somebody who I went to high school with who transitioned, and when I saw that they did, I was like, dude, I know they you can tell they're so much more happy. They're honest as to who they are, and it was exactly what they needed. And to now have laws in place that take away that opportunity to see to fruition who you truly are, that's ridiculous. And people, lawmakers especially, will never, for one, they don't listen to you. They'll listen to whoever's the loudest and the majority, but they don't put themselves in people's shoes. I am not transgender. I've never experienced that. And neither have most of the lawmakers, but they'll take it away from somebody.
Right.
Just because whoever's the loudest. Well, and I think that is criminal.
That is one of the biggest things that it seems like lawmakers, especially here in South Carolina, are more interested in taking people's liberties and rights away than actually emboldening them to make the decisions that are best for them. Like that's, you know, that go ahead.
Yeah. You're right. It's not even just the individual people who should have the right to make that decision for themselves, but people who are supporting children and adults by just using their preferred pronouns. There are bills specifically targeting people to put them on the sex offenders list if they use the proper pronouns that the person would prefer.
That's insane. Mm-hmm.
How, like, maximum, what are you, like, what are they talking about?
Well, and they're attacking. And
they're just obsessed. They're obsessed with children.
Yeah, you turn around and look who the people who were fighting to stop anyone getting this help is a person who was found with child pornography and was distributing it. Correct. Yeah.
Well, we'll say allegedly he is currently, yeah. He is, according to his indictment, he is currently in jail. Pending court, specifically for that. So, RJ. So I know we deviated, but yeah, RJ May is. I am guessing that because all of this went through a grand jury, which means that they were presented with all of the evidence that got him the indictment. This likely will be the evidence that is used in his court proceedings, and. I don't know how you can get out of this. I do not know. I do not see a path that RJ May could claim any sort of mental illness that he could claim some sort of a disease or that he has an obsession with something. I can't see any way for him to get out of this except for potentially to turn evidence against maybe coworkers or I'm not saying there are.
It reminds me of that SNL faux commercial they had. I'm stupid. And I'm a piece of shit. Like, just, I'm an idiot.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all it is. He's a dumb, stupid piece of shit.
Yeah. So we will obviously, this will be an ongoing conversation, and RJ May is going to definitely receive a lot of our attention over the course of the next few months because I do.
Hey, you guys have been calling it. We've seen it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was the fact that it finally happened. It is makes me grateful for how the system works. Ironically, I was selected to be on grand jury this past year, but never got selected for a grand jury.
And I know you were bummed.
Oh my gosh. I was hoping, man, I wanted to be on this grand jury so bad. You know,
RJ May, never heard of him.
Although, in light of the specifics about some of the evidence that was collected, I do not regret not having been on that grand jury because I guarantee you they had to sit through these videos that were collected by FBI and HSI.
Do they show the videos?
Screenshots?
I guarantee it.
I suspect that they got a lot more of the evidence than what they would have wanted. I suspect that
let me also let me just put this out there. I called Barrett immediately after I read the document. It was a 22-page document, and I had my first panic attack reading through the stuff. Everything is the most horrific, and I'm a journalist who has seen a lot of stuff the cases that are similar to this, but knowing I shook that man's hand and what he was doing. Is the sickest thing. Made it
too real. I bet. I mean,
it was extremely real. I mean, I could not. It like broke my perception of humanity in the moment. It was wild. I called Barrett immediately after. I was like, "This is the sickest thing." If allegedly,
yeah,
if this happened,
yeah.
My God.
You allegedly met evil face to face.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing we benefit from now, Bill, is that because Big Media is an LLC, we have limited liability. And you know we are an LLC when you start getting these ridiculously
are we getting desks? Yeah. It's gonna be sweet.
Chairs too, right? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Chairs. We got sample bottles. I mean, this is the kind of bullshit that I get in the mail now because Big Media LLC is a.
Can I get a W-2 and I just want to claim some stuff.
Barrett, could you pay me?
Yeah, can we get paid? Turn the podcast off. We need to get paid.
Y'all are breaking up. I don't know what's going on. The day that I get you guys to go out there and start bringing in more members, we will work something out. That is for sure. Right.
Dude, I've been sharing stuff, doing things.
What we need is, I'm not
putting that on my roof rack or anything, like some psychopath, like driving around.
That thing gets a lot of attention, sir. It gets a lot of attention, sir. I will just say this. We all know people that have some small businesses that I would be perfectly happy to bring on to the All About Nothing podcast.
I'm facilitating that right now.
We're getting it done. That's what we're doing. We're getting it done.
I've got some small businesses for you.
There you go. Some reason that sounded like a threat.
My neighbor
like.
Terry slings more weed than anybody else. Terry,
I'll give you my small business. Get ready, Columbia. Soda City Comic Con 2025 is turning up the heat this summer. It all goes down August 23rd and 24th at the Columbia Metropolitan Convention Center, and the guest lineup is already packed with fan favorites. Let's start with Katie Sackhoff.
Yeah.
Starbuck from Battlestar Galactica and Bo-Katan Kreese from The Mandalorian and Clone Wars. She's a sci-fi icon and one of the coolest people to ever wield a blaster. Then there's John Heder, the man, the myth, the Napoleon Dynamite. From Blades of Glory to Surf's Up and everything awkwardly hilarious in between, he's bringing the signature charm to Soda City. And rounding it out, we've got Caitlin Robrock, the incredible voice of Minnie Mouse in Mickey Mouse Funhouse, Minnie's Bowtie Tunes, and many more. She's also voiced characters in Agrisuko, Amphibia, and Mr. Pickles, a true animation powerhouse. They'll all be there, signing autographs, taking selfies, and meeting fans all weekend long. And this is just the beginning. Even more celebrity guests are being announced. So keep checking SodaCityComicCon.com for the latest updates, guest lists, ticket info, and VIP perks. Make your summer unforgettable. Grab those tickets and come celebrate all things pop culture at Soda City Comic Con. So I did this past weekend was the No Kings protest. I attended. I was there. I was there from like 12 to 2.
I was there from like 2:45 to 4:30.
I
caught like the end of it.
Did you take any signs with you, Bill?
No, I should have.
So these were the signs I held. So if you listen to the Kinda Daily Show with Bill Kimmler and I, we discussed this a little bit because he said that I am shameful. But this was one of the signs that I did. South Carolina says no to fascism. Okay. The other side said Henry McMaster proudly dragging South Carolina back to 1955. That's legitimate. Mm-hmm. But it is voting season. So I did also carry around a poster that said the All About Nothing podcast and vote best local podcast. So and it got some attention. It was.
Did you have a QR code where you were holding it up? You're like
negative. I didn't go that far. Any of the votes that came from that, likely they had to go to Free Times. I did say go to the Post and Courier Free Times where you can vote. I did
the last
that.
One. Actually, as a matter of fact, right behind me, the last one I went to, you can't see it because the guitars are covering it, but it's This Machine Kills Fascists, and it's like a guitar painted on it.
Nice.
I did that one for the Medicaid one, and I was going to bring it, but Bob I was Dylan working that day, and then I had to.
As Barrett well knows, I'm a big fan of Scathing Atheist podcast The Skeptocrat, and Skeptocrat had the best. No Illusions said, the No Kings protests were amazing, but if it doesn't work, we switch to the other kind of protest.
It was really good. There were, let's see, Dallas, Houston, San Francisco, Chicago, New York, Atlanta, Miami, Seattle, Los Angeles. they estimated initially that there were about 5 million people that participated. But that is a very low estimate based on, I want to say, I think it was either MIT or one of the technical universities. They ran an algorithm against the number of people in the crowds and got a rough count of estimate that was topping out somewhere around the 14 million.
Well, so they need to calm down with that shit or they're going to get defunded.
Harvard's getting defunded anyway.
Well, was it not on record as one of the most, actually was it not the most single day protest ever? What was it? The most people that's ever showed up to a protest on a single day in America.
Yeah.
It's not surprising. And then 42 people showed up to the fascist parade.
So I will say this, Bill, you were there. Who were the speakers that you saw? Or did you recognize any of them?
I'm going to be honest. I didn't recognize many of them. There were a couple people from the Young Democrats that were there, but not the people I knew.
Okay.
I there were some friends and stuff that were there from other rallies I had been to who were showing up, but nobody running.
Joe Walsh spoke. Joe Walsh, who is a new Democrat. He ran. Well,
I was like, from the Eagles?
Well, okay, no. Joe Walsh, he was a candidate for president against Donald Trump back in 2020. Unsuccessful campaign. But he moved to South Carolina to run against Lindsey Graham as a senator. He is one of three people that have announced it. So you have Joe Walsh, Lindsey Graham, and of course, Annie Andrews. We may try and get Joe Walsh to come on the show if he's legitimately trying to run for this Senate seat. We'll see. It's a growing list of people that are running for this seat. David Robinson.
That's going to be a good primary.
It is.
Really. I mean, I'm excited for the debates. For governor, it's like, to be honest, like if you're running as a Democrat in South Carolina for governor, anybody who would be worth running for governor like that would be worth running for the Senate seat, Lindsey Graham Senate seat.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to.
Let's
bring Jim Hodges back.
Jermaine. Jim Hodges was the last Democrat to win in South Carolina. Yeah. He brought us the lottery.
Like, he knows some stuff.
He also brought us Confederate Day, Memorial Day.
Yeah. Yeah. That was the trade off.
Right? Not great.
Yeah. Weird.
We all have things we're not proud of. I mean,
that's true.
At least I can say I've never formed a Confederate holiday.
At least a third of the shows this season.
That only like banks super... and state employees looking in here too.
Yeah.
If I went to my job and I'm like, it's Confederate Memorial Day. And they're like, you're kind of fired. I'm like,
yeah. Yeah. I think the banks are closed on Confederate Memorial Day.
They are.
Yeah. So Jermaine Johnson, he has announced, I guess, an exploratory committee to see about running for governor, against whoever the Republicans put up, which is probably going to be Alan Wilson.
They made an announcement today that he's going to announce
that's how we do
he's running.
That's how we do it. I literally did it just a few minutes ago. I am thinking about considering.
I like how this is all in the same episode, by the way. It's like all coming out once at the end of the episode, you're going to.
So that's like I have a concept of a plan.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like you're having the plan right now is happening. And at the end of the episode, you're
right. This isn't the plan, but this is the concept that I have of that plan.
But yeah, you're going to have Nancy Mace likely running for governor. You're going to have what's his name? Tim Scott has potentially mentioned a few times lately that he's considering running for governor. We have the current Attorney General Alan Wilson. He is on the verge of officially announcing that he's running for governor. So, like, you know, it's not going to be the race that we had 4 years ago, well, or 2 years ago, 3 years ago, whatever. It's going to be a substantially stacked group of candidates that are running. Are they good candidates? Fuck no. Some of them are terrible.
Butt puppets, yeah.
but there are going to be a lot, and I'm with Nancy Mace potentially in the campaign candidate for governor for South Carolina. I mean, the only reason I think she's doing is because she sees the writing on the wall. She will no longer be able to represent South Carolina's first district down in the Lowcountry. It is highly unlikely that she will win a primary out of that. So running for governor, which has a more national look to it, Nancy Mace will run for governor and she will likely lose. I suspect it's probably going to be Alan Wilson is probably going to be the Republican candidate for governor, which is a shame because the Wilsons time in South Carolina, I think, should end abruptly, but it should end because Alan Wilson,
the bloodline, their time, all of it.
The accusations of the things that Alan Wilson has done and allowed to get away, people to get away with during his time as Attorney General is like, it's an enormous list. And he's not done anything good for the state of South Carolina. And so a friend of mine asked me today about what the representation at the protests here in Columbia looked like. And I wasn't certain where the question was going, but he said, you know, were there many black people there? Were there many people of color? And I said, yeah, it was, I mean, it was probably about the representation you think would be in Columbia, South Carolina, but there were plenty of black people there. There were plenty of, you know, there was a lot of people there
there was a voter tent that was set up specifically for voting for Black Lives Matter stuff, I believe.
Okay. Yeah.
I did see that. It was closer to the front of the state house.
Yep. I did see that. But he asked me that question and I told him, I said, yeah, there were. I said, but I did tell him specifically that I had friends that reached out to me that said that they wanted to go, but that they didn't. Because when Alan Wilson released his press statement about how South Carolina law enforcement was going to be out in full force to make sure that these protests stay peaceful, which, by the way, I don't know how you force people to stay peaceful when you're projecting such a show of force. But I legitimately had friends that said that they were not going to go just out of fear because of how Alan Wilson has handled, how he handled Black Lives Matter protests in South Carolina, how he handled other situations, what he is like as a prosecutor when it came to prosecuting people of color. So there is a history there, and him coming out with that press statement on what was it, Wednesday last week about how law enforcement in South Carolina was going to be out to keep the protests peaceful, or that you know, I don't even think he used the word peaceful. I could read it. I have it somewhere.
It was funny because I saw like maybe 9 cops. Like I didn't even see, because people were saying I knew people that were afraid to show up because of ICE. I didn't see any ICE. Well, actually, I don't think you can see ICE officers, right? They're just in the.
Yeah.
They were in Charleston.
Yeah. They were definitely in Charleston. And I have seen pictures of people taking pictures of ICE trucks in Lexington and in Irmo. There have definitely been several law enforcement that resemble ICE, or there is, they have a truck that's been seen around the Columbia area.
That whole job is just profiling.
Yeah. That's all it is. Yeah. Because,
and also pulling up in a white van with no ID and pulling, black and brown people into it. Mm-hmm. And just gone. I mean, it's scary.
All in all, I think that the protests, at least here in South Carolina, and there were roughly 20 or 30 different events all around South Carolina. Bill went to one in Greenwood. Matt was at the one in Rock Hill. We had in Charleston. I know that there were people in Newberry there was a protest in Newberry. Union even had,
and the
I'm trying to get him on the show.
But we have to.
I'm trying to get him on the show. But there was one guy who was out early in Union, South Carolina, which if you don't know where Union is going up from Columbia, you're going up towards Greenville. But Union was the site of where Susan Smith drove her kids into a reservoir and killed them. So if you remember the story of Susan Smith and her two dead children, Union's where it happened.
And she was prison down here.
Yeah. And then she went. Yeah. And then she was in prison down here and then got pregnant in prison.
Yeah. Weird. Great.
Yeah. Obviously a good mother. But yeah. So the protests were largely peaceful. There was one incident, and I had a couple friends on TikTok reach out to me because they either saw it happen or they were friends with individuals that it happened to, two people that don't know each other. But when I was there, there were two sub 30, you know, under 30 year olds walking around wearing Make America Great hat agains. That is a weird way to say that. Make America Great hats. And well, there was an again in there somewhere.
Make America Great Again hats.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So they were two tall, slender, blonde, you know, white guys walking around in these hats. And for the most part, it seemed like they were pretty much just minding their own business. They weren't saying anything to anybody. But then
this hat every day.
Yeah. But then later I heard that there was an incident at the street where a number of people were out with their flags and their signs, you know, and getting, like, when I was there, it was just a constant barrage of honk cars. This is where I'm having my stroke.
Steel carriages drawn by steam.
Car horns being honked virtually the entire time. And the incident that was described by two different people was described exactly the same way. And I know, I don't believe these two people know each other, but there was a girl that was at the side of the road who did get shoved into traffic. The police apparently grabbed a hold of the individual or individuals that were involved. And what they described was the two kids that were walking around with their MAGA hats on. So for the most part, it seemed like the whole thing was peaceful except for an incident that was described. And I didn't find a police report. I don't know if there was an arrest or there was any sort of detainment or anything like that, but it was, there was an incident at least described, that I know of. I know in Charleston that there was an incident where they had a couple horses or police on horseback that were corralling some of the protesters and in a very aggressive way. I did see a video of that. The other incident,
Barrett, yeah. Have you ever been corralled by a horse?
No.
I have. There's no non-aggressive way of doing
it. It's a little terrifying.
Yeah, it happened to me in Savannah when they were like, everybody used to go home, and a horse hit Keith, and then Keith hit me.
I will say the other incident that I and you all may have seen the video by now. I don't have it ready queued up, but Tom Fernandez, who is a representative from the Low Country somewhere, Tom Fernandez, I believe someone told me that he is a pastor at a church. But this is the guy that is a representative. He looks like, to me, he looks like Marvel's the leader. Like he's just got this bald, bulbous head. And but he drives around in a truck that is a very expensive truck that is on the back of it. And I may be getting this wrong, so I'm paraphrasing it, but it has a bumper sticker on it that says that my other ride has huge jugs, or my other ride is a double D or something like that.
Let him talk about your mom like that.
Referring to his wife. Sorry, mom, Zach's back. referring to his wife, but there was an incident with Tom Fernandez pulled up to protesters, started blaring music out of his $90,000 truck and was screaming obscenities at the crowd, as well as, you know, flicking them off with his finger. And then he drives away with both of his hands out of the window as he's driving back down the street. I'm like, that's all the evidence you need for like a traffic stop, right?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So for the most part, the protests here in South Carolina were peaceful. It sounds like around the nation, if there were incidents, it was a very small piece of it. That there was very few incidents around the nation. I know Los Angeles is still, it sounds like it's kind of ramping down but even if it was on fire, we're talking about two city blocks between City Hall and a federal building. Like that's it.
Yeah. And the fact that Republicans are like, call in the guards. This is out of control. Call in the Marines. This is out of control.
They're just like, January we can't 6th. Believe this. Yeah, exactly. January 6th.
Right. You want a very clear representation of what a riot and an insurrection looks like.
Yeah, January 6th, guys in the crowd, send the fucking Marines.
January 6th was very recently. It wasn't that long ago. So, you know, let's keep perspective on things. It's crazy. Before we wrap this up, you guys want to talk about Donald Trump's pity parade?
Oh, the squeaky tanks? Yes. I forgot that was that. That's actually great. I only thought about No King's Day and did not think about that parade.
It was
crazy. John Stewart had the best takes on that. It was fantastic.
Well, I have not watched that yet.
Yeah,
have to watch that after.
Go back.
He's like when Fox News is like, the Ayatollah has to be terrified. Meanwhile, the tank driver.
Yeah, exactly. So there, and I brought this up on the Kinda Daily Show the other day. There is a rumor that the Army was actually silently protesting this parade because as we all know, we all have either friends or we have we know people that are in the military or have been in the military. And in talking to several people, one of the very first things that you're in the military, one of the very first things you're taught is how to march. And what we saw,
it was just,
yeah. It was a casual walk down the road.
It had the drums, still wasn't in beat.
No, not only that, but like, did you see the guy that was literally carrying a drone above his head?
Because they're like, can I fly it? And they're like, no, you're like, you can hold it like here.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's literally with one hand, just kind of holding it on top of his head. Like it's a hat.
Stupid. The robo dogs.
Yeah, the robo dogs. Those are terrifying.
My job has one of those robo dogs. Not threatening. They're as loud as like a PS4 going into hyperdrive.
Yeah,
or a vacuum cleaner. Like,
ugh. Yeah. So, we have dogs, army robot dogs that
are. You'll hear it going like, I don't know what these dogs are for. Other than be like, that's pretty prancing. Cool. It's a robot.
They're robot dogs that prance. But yeah, so the army was potentially silently protesting by not giving a shit. You had
tanks robot, that couldn't be there.
Yeah, tanks that are completely useless. Like they pulled these things out of mothballs and didn't think, oh, maybe a little WD-40.
Creases the fittings.
Real quick, here's the thing. So I thought that part of the money, like there was $45 million and there was supposed to be there was somewhere in there another $16 million. For fixing the roads after the parade. Fact,
yeah.
How did those tanks do $16 million worth of damage on those roads? There's no way. Like, there's no way that could actually be what they have to pay now.
Well, and they had a battalion of tanks that were on the side of the bridge, but then they figured out that the bridge could not sustain these tanks.
It doesn't make sense.
Did you guys see the drama between Trump and Melania?
No, I did see Trump go. They said it was supposed to be 100% chance of rain. No rain.
Yeah, and then he left early.
Yeah. He left early and he fell asleep during his own fireworks. But yeah, no, at Milan, he said something to Melania, asked her, and they had a lip reader read what it was that Trump said. But they read his lips and he asked her if she was cold. Now, it was 85 degrees or whatever. Humid as all get out, because it was warm here in Colombia, but like it was warm. Asked her if she was cold and she said no, she was fine. But at one point he said something to her and she smiled like she was very, you know, like I'm just doing this because I want to make sure that I get that money later on. But then like as soon as he turned away, her eyes rolled into the back of her head. You thought they were gonna get stuck. At one point, they were standing together, and you see Donald Trump do that little thing with his finger, where he just kind of reaches over to try and grab her hand, and she moved away from him very quickly. So as much as there are a lot of people out there that hate Donald Trump, I am of the firm belief that Melania Trump detests him more than most people in this country. Like,
well, she's seen him naked, so that has to take you up like a level
it's
of
gotta,
hatred.
It's got
to,
yeah, it's got to throw up a red flag.
Mm.
God,
There have been some articles that have come out that I have seen where they have described what a potential Donald Melania divorce would look like, especially with him in office at the time, if that were to occur.
Has that ever happened?
I don't know.
Calls in Stormy.
We'd have to ask
Stormy, come back.
I'll be completely honest. I ran out of all my free access to ChatGPT today. I don't get it back till tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock. Because I'm not paying for that.
They have a rolling ticker like that? That's pretty funny.
Yeah. Especially if I throw images in it or videos and whatnot and ask it to give me like a good synopsis. Hashtags. I'm mostly looking for hashtags, you know.
Man, you use Gemini. That thing rocks.
Yeah, I also use Gemini. How to do that?
Real quick. Never in office, but it looks like two presidents, Reagan and Trump, had a divorce and then remarried.
Trump's had two divorces. With a third potentially coming. Before we get out of here, I do want to give one last update. We discussed this a few weeks ago, Bill and I, with Matt Villardebo on a bonus episode following Matt's episode. We described a woman who is brain dead that was being basically kept alive via life support as an incubator for the baby that she was 8 weeks pregnant with when she passed, or when her brain stopped working. The baby was born to a 31-year-old brain-dead woman. The woman's name was Adriana Smith. She had been on life support since February. She suffered from brain clots in the brain, obviously. She was treated at Northside Hospital and released. Her boyfriend found her the next morning struggling to breathe. She then went to the hospital where she did pass, but she was kept alive on life support after being pregnant again for 8 weeks. The baby actually was born this past Friday via emergency C-section. His name is Chance. He is 1 pound, 8 ounces. The family of Adriana Smith said that she was to be taken off life support yesterday. So, for the most part, that drama is over, as far as Adriana goes, but, the baby Chance is, not doing great. I have not gotten much of a description from any of the news sources as to what it is he might be suffering from. But he was born when he was in her womb. They did note that there was a significant amount of fluid on the brain, which obviously is going to make it very difficult for him to have a normal life, if at all. So,
well, at 8 weeks, life is barely viable. I just why did they do that? That's crazy.
Yeah. It's
such a muddy water right there.
It really is. And I personally, if the situation were someone close to me, there's no dignity in what they did to Adriana Smith, like keeping her body in a stasis that could support the life of the baby, knowing that the baby's life was probably going to be impacted severely by the condition. I would always say that the family should have the choice in what happens to the body of the mother.
Unless there were details beforehand, which we assume that there was not.
Right. We don't have all the information, so it's not safe to make a complete assessment on it, but I would want the family to be able to make the decision. The fact that the state of Georgia stepped in and said, no, we have this ban on abortions and ultimately, we're going to keep her alive. The state of Georgia is going to keep her alive and sustain her life until the baby can be born, which they did. But now who gets the bill? Like, who's going to pay for that?
And the state has no right at all for that. That's insane.
But that's essentially what we've come into as a Republican Party that is more comfortable with controlling the outcome of people's daily lives and their daily decisions. And it's something that has to change. Like, this is not the Republican Party that I remember from like Reagan and George H.W. Bush and even George W. Bush. This is a Republican Party that has no limit to the amount of liberties that they want to eliminate from people. And people, you can tell me in the comments and deny it all you want, but this is not a Republican Party that sees personal freedoms and liberties as being important. They want to control it all. And the Democrats don't. The Democrats are now the liberal leave us alone party. Like that's where we're at.
Yeah, so, don't tread on me. Well, I'm going to tread the shit out of everyone else.
Yeah. You're going to feel every tread is essentially what we have.
Including tire treads sometimes. So, Charlottesville.
Well, Zach, welcome back.
I appreciate it. Feels good to, discourse with you fellas.
Yeah. Yeah. It feels good too. I'm going to have to wash some of it off, but it feels good.
That just means we all had a fun time, Barrett.
That's right. That's right. There was too much fun to go around. Bill, as always, thank you for being here.
Not the first time I've heard that. Yeah.
Thank you for having me.
We're going to be marching steadily on towards the Soda City Comic Con coming up in August. So make sure to visit Soda City Comic Con for your tickets. As well, the 10th Masters of Putt-Putt going on at Frankie's Fun Park here in Columbia, South Carolina. Frankie's Fun Park, where all the fun is right in the palm of your hand. Wait, that's not right.
Well, you know all the fun is within a park.
EverPlaySocial.com. Go check out EverPlaySocial.com for details. Register for the upcoming 10th Masters of Putt-Putt. As well, check out ZJZ Designs for all the best in apparel and gifts. Really and truly, you will really like what it is that they have there. I'm trying to encourage some new designs, especially with the wake of all the protests and protests to come. So go check out ZJZDesigns.com. On that bombshell, that's going to do it for this episode. You guys have any final thoughts before we get out of here? Zach?
No.
Bill? No. All head shakes. Okay.
No more thoughts.
Yeah, no more thoughts. All
right. Not a single thought.
Links to all of our past episodes, podcast platforms, merchandise, and social media are available at our webpage, theallaboutnothing.com. And if you think our financial model of giving away free content and entertainment is silly and you're in the giving mood, why not become an official Nothinger and support the show? Members get early access to this episode as well as exclusive content. Visit members.theallaboutnothing.com, or you can find a link at our webpage. You can also give a one-time donation through the same link. If you'd like to be a part of the show, you can call and leave us a message. Call 803-672-0533, or you can email the show at theallaboutnothing.com. Or you can join our Discord server. There are links found on our webpage. Thanks for listening and watching, everybody. See us next week. Everybody stay safe, be kind, and
keep your hands to yourself.
The All About Nothing podcast is a product of Big Media and produced and engineered by me, Barrett Gruber. Thanks to Cake for our intro music, Sick of You. You can follow everything Cake the band at cakemusic.com. Thanks to Muff the producer for our outro music. You can follow Muff on Instagram at Muff the producer. You can follow me across social media by visiting linktree.com/Barrett Gruber. And you can follow Zach King on linktree.com/AANZach. Want to support the show? Visit our webpage, theallaboutnothing.com, and become a member. There are several tiers available that give you early access to episodes as well as exclusive content. To find links to our social media, podcast platforms, and merchandise to support the show, as well as past episodes, visit theallaboutnothing.com. If you'd like to be a part of the show, you can email theshow@theallaboutnothing.com, or you can call our number and leave a message. Dial 803-672-0533. If the time between these episodes is more than you can handle, check out our sister shows. What the Pod Was That with Carrie, Zach, and myself. Welcome to Wonderland with Ami. Politically Speaking with Erica, Kirsten, and Emily. And Black, White, and Blue in the South with Dr. Jamil Brooks and Bill Kimmler. Please subscribe and share this show. If you're on YouTube, please subscribe and punch that notification bell. Thank you for listening and hear us next week. The preceding podcast is a product of Big Media, LLC, and is copyright 2025, all rights reserved.